Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Jesus taught in parables. The New Testament was written in Greek, and the New Testament Greek word for parable is parabole. Para means alongside, bole means to lay. So a parable is a laying alongside. Jesus would teach the crowd in a story, and then privately to the disciples, he would lay alongside what it meant. Today we're going to look at four short parables. Parable of the mustard seed, parable of the leaven, parable of the hidden treasure, and the parable of the great pearl. So let's put on our thinking caps, take out your Bible if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Let's learn all that we can from these parables. Let's pray. Father, we pray as we open the Word of God that You'd open our ears and our hearts, open my mouth, and speak to every person watching exactly what You want them to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." Let's stop there. What does the phrase kingdom of heaven mean? When you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," what are you praying for? Well, you're praying for two things. First, present tense. May your kingdom come right now, present tense. That's a reference to the church. Lord, get the missionaries out there. May they expand the church. May lots of Christians get saved now. But then secondarily, and this is what I think most people think of when they say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," at the end of time. We're praying for the future final reign of Christ when he descends in the clouds, raises the dead, brings in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, in these four short parables, is it the future tense he's talking about or the present tense? I'm going to say it's present tense, so let's get into it. Verse 31, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is the smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in the branches." So again, Jesus told this story, and then he later explains things to the disciples. This one, he never explained. So we're kind of left to guess what his meaning is. When I was in Bible class in college, I had a professor who gave everybody in the class a little white index card, and he read the parable of the mustard seed, and he said, "Everybody, write down what you think the mustard seed is." We did that. He gathered them all up, and he read them in front of class. "The mustard seed is your faith, and your faith grows." Or, "The mustard seed is when you give money to the Lord and he gives you back more." Or, "The mustard seed," and all kinds of answers. So can I give you my first point of the sermon today? Everybody, get a good Bible commentary. I mean, Christians have been studying scriptures for 2,000. Get the ESV Study Bible. Great explanatory notes on the bottom of the page. And if you read the mustard seed, well, what's he talking about? You look at the bottom of the page. Get a good Bible commentary or two. Get the good ESV Study Bible. But here's what most scholars think the mustard seed is. The mustard seed means the tiny church will become huge. Remember, when Jesus died, there were a little band of men and a few women that believed in him. That was the church when he died. It has become, Christianity is the biggest single religion on the planet. Number two is Islam, but Christianity is bigger than any of them. So make sure you're not part of a church that believes that their tiny church are the only Christians on earth. unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. Or unless you're totally immersed in water as an adult, you're not saved. And if you worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, you're not saved. No, no, no. He didn't say the mustard seed would become a tiny church. He said it would become a huge branch, huge tree. So I'm a Lutheran. I was interviewing a Catholic priest, very conservative, traditional Catholic priest. And he said to me, if you're a Roman Catholic and you understand Catholic doctrine and you intentionally leave it and become a Lutheran, you're going to hell. Well, we had a little disagreement on that program. But, you know, again, the seed isn't going to become a tiny plant. It's going to become a huge plant. I used to get emails from this pastor who was a pastor of a small church, and he regularly explained to me how they were saved, and the impression was, and nobody else. And he wrote me a note. Finally, I wrote him back, sir, I think you're arrogant. For you to think you're the only Christians on earth, Jesus said the plant's going to become huge, not tiny. And yes, Jesus did say the way is narrow that leads to life, but he didn't say it was that narrow. You know what it says in Revelation 7? There'll be so many people in heaven. It's going to be a number that no man can count. It's huge. My belief is there are true Christians throughout the denominations. You remember this joke? A man dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter is going to give him the tour. So St. Peter takes him over here. Here's some people worshiping very liturgically and formally. And these are the Episcopalians. Then St. Peter takes him to another part of, and the people are jumping up and down, worshiping loud. These are the Pentecostals. And he takes him to another area, and people are very simple, and these are the Calvinists. But then St. Peter takes the man to the far end of heaven, takes him up 18 flights of stairs, and he opens the door and he says, shh, these are the Southern Baptists. They think they're the only ones here. Now, if you're a Southern Baptist, don't be offended. I'm a Missouri Synod Lutheran. I could have ended that with, they think they're the only ones here. I still am a Missouri Synod Lutheran. I'm grateful for their biblical teaching. But when I was 12 years old, sitting in confirmation class, my dad was Catholic, but all of us kids were raised Lutheran. Mom was Lutheran. So the pastor's teaching. My hand goes up. Pastor Ruff, can you go to heaven if you're not a Lutheran? And I remember he paused. Well, Tom, I think there are other Christians out there. That's a little too narrow. No, the tiny seed is going to become huge. And you know, just kind of a secondary thought, some little thing you do can become huge. I mean, I have a memory. I was 5 years old and I couldn't sleep. And I went out in the living room and Mom and Dad are watching TV. And I said, Mom and Dad, I can't get to sleep. And I think about Bugs Bunny and cartoon characters. I still can't get to sleep. And Mom says, Tommy, just think about Jesus and you'll go to sleep. I went to bed that night. The only thing I knew about Jesus were two songs. Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and Jesus Loves Little Children. I sang those two songs in my head till I fell asleep. I did that for the next 6 or 7 years, nightly when I went to bed. That did something to me. So, you know, one little thing you do, Jesus starts a little church, it becomes huge. That's the meaning of the mustard seed. But secondarily, you might do one little thing that God will make huge. All right, let's look at the next parable, the parable of the leaven. Look at verse 33, Matthew 13. Jesus spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. Now again, this is one of those parables that Jesus didn't explain. So we're kind of left guessing what it means, but the scholars are pretty much agreed that here's what it means. The kingdom of God spreads. Starts out little, but it spreads like leaven. People ask, with what's going on in our culture, should I have my child in public schools? I think that's a good question, because Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because evil can be leavened too and spread. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, he talks about leaven being evil and just spreading, so you got to get it out of your church. Well, should I have my child in public school? I think you got to pray about that, because remember, the kingdom of God is leaven too. And maybe God wants your children in school, public school, being little missionaries to spread the gospel. I got a letter from a lay person here in Minneapolis. The lesbian principal of the grade school is using her influence to teach kids that lesbianism's a good thing too. And God bless this father. He's standing up and he's fighting this stuff. So, I don't know if you should keep your kid in or get him out. You got to just pray on that. But if you stay, make sure you are real involved in your children's school to be 11. I remember a teenager at the church I served. Her name was Jill. She's standing next to the locker and talking to her girlfriend about Jesus. Another student walks by and hears this, and he goes up, "You can't talk about that here, separation of church and state." She thought he was kidding. She kept talking to her girlfriend. He takes his fist and he slugs her and knocks her down. The next day, he apologized to her. She forgave him. She invited him to church. He started going, coming to church. So, you know, the kingdom of God is like a leaven. It spreads. I'll tell you how the kingdom of God overcame my bad leaven. I was raised in the church. I think I was a Christian when I went to college, but I was messed up. So I go to college, I join a Bible study. These are Baptist-type people I'm in with. And they said, you know, Tom, there's a hell. I said, well, I don't like the doctrine of hell. If you were born in China, you'd be a Buddhist. And well, maybe it's reincarnation. So I was messed up. They kept saying, no, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says no to reincarnation. Jesus talked about hell. So my first year of college, I reread the New Testament. Every time it mentioned hell, I wrote it down. By the end of that year, my mind started to change, and their good leaven overcame my evil leaven. The kingdom of heaven spreads. Next parable is called the parable of the hidden treasure. Skip down to Matthew 13, skip down to verse 44, where we read, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field." What does that parable mean? Well, here's, I think, the lesson. Do whatever to get the kingdom. Why is the kingdom so precious? Why do you give up everything for the kingdom? Look back. Look at verse 41. "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. He, Jesus, will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's hell. "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The reason you got to do everything you can to get the kingdom is you get eternal joy. It's worth it. I mean, this man didn't say, oh no, I have to sell things to buy the... He says, oh boy, I get the kingdom. I mean, I can remember once at Bible camp teaching eighth graders that we're saved by grace and not good works. Therefore, you can know you're saved because of Christ. They just burst into joy. I'd never seen anything quite like that. But the point here is, do whatever to get the kingdom. Origen was an early church father born in 185 AD. When he read the verse where Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Better to go to heaven with one hand than hell with two hands. Well, Origen read that and overinterpreted it. And he castrated himself. I don't think that's what Jesus meant by that verse. But God bless Origen for doing whatever he thought he had to do to get the kingdom. I preached two funerals last month. And depressing as funerals are, both these women knew Jesus Christ. And so I could offer that, well, they're in the kingdom now. Next parable, last parable is verse 45. And again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here's the next lesson. The kingdom of God is the greatest pearl. While the rest of the world is spending time chasing after fake rhinestones, Christians, we've got the pearl. Don't forget that. I mean, I'll tell you what I think Satan does. You know, here's a farm boy who had a strange hobby. He could take cow manure and work it into a sculpture, and he'd bake it into the sun, and then he would take paint and paint it, and he could take cow manure and make it look just like an apple. But don't bite into that apple. And that's what Satan does. Satan takes ugly, awful stuff, makes it look pretty, and you bite into it and you go, yuck. I love that line in the baptismal service where you say, I renounce the lie, I renounce Satan and all of his empty promises. You know, don't believe the lie that the world is so much better than being a Christian. People on People Magazine or Entertainment Tonight, they're the... No, look closely. See if you can see the manure through the veneer. Nothing beats what we've got. I mean, I talked to a lady whose two-year-old boy fell out of the car when the door slipped open and died. What can the world tell her? I was able to tell her, because she knew the Lord and so did her little boy, He's in the kingdom. I mean, how happy do you think right now Madeline Murray O'Hare is? Charles Darwin is? Carl Sagan is? No, Christians, don't forget, we've got the pearl. All right. In closing, I think the main point of these parables, the mustard seed, the leaven, the hidden treasure, and the great pearl, their main point is the kingdom spreads and nothing compares to knowing Jesus. I love the old hymn. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have mansions untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be held in his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And my prayer for you is let go of the rhinestones, the crud of life. Put your faith in Jesus. He's the greatest treasure on this planet. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, why didn't Jesus tell everybody, and not just the disciples, the meaning of the parables?
And that question was asked when Jesus was on earth. Why do you speak in parables? And he said, so that hearing they may not hear, seeing they may not see. To you disciples, it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but for the others on the outside, it hasn't. Now, so Jesus had to die on the cross, and they thought the Messiah would be victorious and get rid of Pilate. They didn't expect the Messiah to get... So Jesus, in a way, kind of hides who he is because they had such a misconception of the Messiah. And the meaning of the parables are kind of hidden from the crowds. But the disciples... Now, after Christ rises from the dead and sends the disciples out, anybody can find out what the parables mean now. You just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But for a season, it was hidden. And there's some predestination going on here. God doesn't reveal the truth of the kingdom to everybody. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. How can I tell a true church from a false one?
Well, let me list what's called the cults. These are groups that say they are Christian, but they deny basic Christian doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny the Trinity. Mormons, they believe in thousands of gods. And if you're a good Mormon, you become a god and get a universe to worship you. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Christian Science, Unitarianism. There's the Worldwide Church of God. That's Garner Ted Armstrong. He's long dead. But so there's those are the cults. And then what's really sad, cults have invaded the Christian denominations. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, all the Lutheran, Episcopal, Methodist churches were pretty good. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've just got to share this. Let me take a quick detour. There's an we used to be ELCA mm-hmm. Lutheran. We left and joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. The ELCA Lutherans have gone crazy. Listen to this. First of all, a New Jersey ELCA church had a vicar, a practice preacher, dress up as a woman and in drag give the children's sermon. The Bible camp that I went to as a teenager, it's a Lutheran camp in South Dakota called Outlaw Ranch. It was wonderful when I went there. For the second year in a row now, they're having their LGBT gay pride camp for 14 through 18-year-olds. Listen to this. Lee Finke is a man who presents himself as a woman, mm-hmm. a transgender legislator here in Minnesota. He helped pass making Minnesota a safe state so people can come here and have sex change mm-hmm. operations on their children. Mm-hmm. And the governor was fine with that, signed the legislation. The ELCA Lutheran Church has printed a book edited by Lee Finke, and remember, this is published by the ELCA Lutheran Church. The title of book is Queerfully and Wonderfully Made. It's a book for queer teens. And in the book, the book says that Jesus was, quote, totally fine with queerness. You know that verse? You know a verse that says that? It also says, don't listen to your parents if they're not gay-affirming. And it says, porn can be useful. Can you imagine telling teenagers, porn can be useful? This is so bizarre. Let me just quickly quote, and then we'll move on. But regarding parents in this ELCA Lutheran book, if your parents do not accept you and your queerness, then they do not know what's best for you. They just don't. Even if they love you, even if they are praying for you, just because they love you does not mean they know what is best for you. Limit contact with any adult who tells you something is wrong with you. You know, and just you know, you're the only authority on who you are. So bye-bye, fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. It gets worse. This is what the Lutheran ELCA book says about pornography to teenagers. Quote, for starters, porn can be a safe way to explore your sexuality. You can learn about your body and pleasure and how to make the most of both. You can also take that information when applicable and put it to use on your partner's body. Then the book recommends, this is to teenagers, watching porn with your partner, which can open up conversations about sex and pleasure, stimulate our natural arousal systems, or it can be just silly fun to experience together. Here is a Lutheran publishing house, and it's the ELCA's national publishing house, printing a book called Queerfully Made, telling kids that porn can be silly fun. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, sorry, time to leave that branch of Lutheranism and find another good biblical branch of Lutheranism. This is crazy. This is nuts. And I'll say it again, the United Methodists, the United Church of Christ, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the Episcopal Church, the Reformed Church in America, and the Disciples of Christ have also gone over the edge into this. I mean, so sad. We now have cults within what used to be Christian churches. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful. You have to read your Bible. And you have to very carefully choose where you go to church.
We live in a sad day.
Oh, this is awful. There you go.
Okay. Do you think Jesus will return soon?
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I hope so. But we got to say this. We don't know.
Right.
You know, the early Christians thought they were in the end. Christians in World War II thought Hitler was the Antichrist. When I was in college, they thought Kissinger was the Antichrist because the numbers of his name add up to 666. Yeah. So we very well could be in the end of time when I see the church falling away like this. But we don't know. We could be here another 1,000 years.
Right. We need to live like it is.
That's right. That's always safe.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. What will Jesus do when he returns to earth?
All right. At the second coming of Christ, first time he came in Bethlehem, born in a manger. Mm-hmm. When he returns at the end of time, could be tonight, we'll hear trumpets. First thing that happens, Christ comes down in the clouds. Every eye will see him. It's not going to be a secret. Everybody's going to know the second coming. Yeah. Second thing that happens, all the dead are raised. Everybody that's ever lived will be raised. And then thirdly, Christ judges everyone. Those who trusted him go to heaven. Those who reject him go to hell. And then it talks about the earth and the universe melting with fire, mm-hmm. and he brings in the new heavens and the new earth. So comes down in the clouds, raises the dead, judges the world, new heavens and new earth. That's what happens at the second coming. And again, it could be at any time.
Yep.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yep.
Here's our next question. Mm-hmm. I became a member of the Lutheran Church 5 months ago. I first had a conversation with the pastor to see how Bible-based he was in his teachings. I became friends with a couple who told me they live together but are not married. They said the pastor gave them permission to do so, as long as they were committed to each other. I'm very disappointed with this pastor. Should I start looking for another Lutheran church?
I guess I would. The pastor's telling you fornication's okay as long as you pray a prayer. Baloney. 1 Corinthians 6 says fornicators don't go to heaven. I would have a discussion with that pastor. He's leading people astray.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mona, that's it. Let's just give a little update, everybody. We thank you for supporting our ministry. You keep us on the air. When the support comes in, we add more TV stations. When it goes down, hopefully we'll never have to withdraw, but we might. So pray for our ministry. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see an address at the end, or you can go to pastorstudy.org and do it that way, or just you can watch our TV shows at any time. And so we get lots of mail from all over the country now, and people really are appreciative. I mean, we get letters from prisoners that, oh, we have a little Bible study now, and Pastor Brock, we watch your show. That's our discussion Bible study, you know. So it's just kind of, it's just been a blessing. So thank you for being part of it.
Yeah. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you for joining us today on the Pastor Study. See you next time. God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.